Okay, welcome to Seder Nashim and Maseches Yevamos. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Beis. So the first thing we have to discuss before we begin the Masechta is why is this Masechta here? Why is this Seder here? Then why is this Masechta here? The Rambam writes in his Haktamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, when he goes through the order of the Masechtas and what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was thinking in putting the Masechtas in the order that he did, that Rabbi put Seder Nashim before Seder Nezikin, because that's the way it appears in the Torah, that before it says, it first says V'chiyim Karishas Bito La'ama and V'chiyinatzu Anashim Nakfu Ishahara, and only after that the Torah tells us about the other dinim of disputes that happened between Adam and Chaver, Kigach Sharish, etc. So since Nashim related issues come up in the Torah before Nezikin related issues, that's why Rabbi in Torah Shebal Peh also put Nashim before Nezikin. And so Yishanim and Tos HaRash say that Rabbi put the Mishnah al-pi the Seder of the Pasuk. V'haya emunah sitech l'chos nishuos chachma v'das. We learned in the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph that every word in that Pasuk is a reference to a different Seder. Emunas ze Seder Zrayim. Emunah is a reference to Seder Zrayim. Itecha is a Seder Moed. Itecha is a reference to Seder Moed. And then the next one is Chosen. Chosen is a Seder Nashim. So Rebbe arranged the Mishnayos in the order of the words in that Pasuk, and it happens to be that that Pasuk alludes to Seder Nashim before it alludes to Seder Nezikin. So that is why Seder Nashim is over here after Seder Moed and before Seder Nezikin. Then we have to discuss, okay, but if we're going to have Seder Nashim, why do we start with Maseches Yevamos, of all things to start with in Seder Nashim? But even before we get to that, why is it even called Yevamos? The Masechet is as much about Chalitza as it is about Yibum. Why would we call it Yevamos? So the Sefer Achinuch writes in Tavkuf Tzadi Tes that there's a halacha that guided Rebbe to call it Maseches Yevamos rather than Maseches Chalitza. It's called Maseches Yevamos, not Chalitza, because the mitzvah of Yibum is kodem, the mitzvah of Chalitza. The Chalitza is a b'diavad, the Chachila wasn't supposed to do Yibum, it's only b'diavad to do Chalitza. So since Mitzvah Yibum is called the Mitzvah Chalitza, that's why Yevamos comes before, that's why the name of the Masechet is Maseches Yevamos. The Rambam explains why it is that we begin Nashim with Maseches Yevamos. Says, after all, it would have made more sense to begin with Maseches Ksuvos or Maseches Kiddushin, but he says since Yibum is a mitzvah that the Beis Din is kofa on, Beis Din forces a person to do Yibum or Chalitza, as opposed to Kiddushin, where it's completely dependent on the Ratzon of the person, if he wants to get married, if he doesn't want to get married, when he wants to get married, and Bezin's not going to be Kofa, Bezin sort of leaves him alone in terms of his decisions for Kiddushin. So we begin with the Masechta that begins with a mitzvah Hechreches, that begins with a mitzvah that Beis Din is going to take a more active role in overseeing. The very first Tosus Yeshanim, it's important to introduce ourselves to the Tosfos Yeshanim, very important Rishon Maseches Yevamos. It appears on the side of the page of the Gemara, in the margin of the page. The very first Tosfos Yeshanim also discusses this. Yesh Makshim, he says, on the left-hand margin of the page, Amay Maschel Seder Nashim be Yevamos. Why do we start Seder Nashim and Yevamos with Yevamos? But he has it even more sharply worded. Tahaschule Paranus Olam Eschalinan. Generally speaking, the rule is we try not to end off anything with a sour note, and we also try not to start something on a sour note. That's why at the end of any Masechta, no matter how sad and terrible the end of the Masechta might be, at the end they'll always have something, they'll add something nice, something cheerful to finish off a Masechta. But the beginning of Masechta also, that's what the beginning of Masechta is Pesach. We don't start Leil Arba Asar. We start Or Arba Asar. We want to start with something positive, the Rishonim write. And that's why we dafka use the word Or, even though it really refers to Laila. Well, what could be more dreary and terrible to talk about than talking about situations of Yibum? It's profoundly sad. It means a man died without having any children, and Nebuch his brother has to marry his wife in order to establish a name for him, in order to continue that man's heritage. But it's a terrible thing. So why would we start with Maseches Yevamos? Va'adarabba, says the Tosfos Yeshanim, Hayolam lahaschil kiddushin uksuvus v'gitin. It should have had Kiddushin and Ksuvus and Git Chitin, and then Yevamos. It's interesting the order of the other Masechtos that he suggests. That's also not the order that we have. We have Gittin before Kiddush, and we'll discuss that when we get there. Bli Neder. Vinira, so he says, maybe we can suggest the reason that we have Yevamos first, Mishum Dechsiv, Vahaya Amunas Eitech Choson Yeshuel, Vahom Ritech Zeh Seder Moed, Choson Zeh Seder Nashim, Vimkein Seder Nashim, Ubasar Seder Moed, the Messiah Mimsechas Moed Katan. As we mentioned before, everything is patterned after the order of the words in that pasuk that allude to the six Siddurim of Mishayis. The word Choson relates to Seder Nashim, but it's not just Seder. We don't only have to look at the order of Masechtos within Seder Nashim, but look at what it's following, look at what it's coming after. It's coming after Seder Moed. And how did Seder Moed end? With Moed Katan. Not really, but it ended with roughly with Moed Katan. So since it ended with Moed Katan, which was the third parak of Moed Katan, is all about Avelus, so we tried to link the end of Moed Katan with the beginning, the end of Seder Moed with the beginning of Seder Nashim. Davi Paranusa, Lekach Hiskel Seder Nashim b'Maseches Yevamos. That's why we begin Seder Nashim with the Maseches Yevamos. Umasmich Paranusa leParanusa, and we juxtapose the two Paranios, the Paranios at the end of Seder Nashim of Seder Moed, rather than the Paranios at the beginning of Seder Nashim. And he says, just like the Gemara says in Maseches Basra, that the order of the books of Navi are also sometimes linked like that. That the end of Sefer Melachim is linked with Sefer Yirmiyah, because the end of Sefer Melachim is Paranus and Sefer Yirmiyah is Kula Paranusa. That's why Melachim and Yirmiyah are back to back to each other. So that's one answer Tosfos Yeshayahu gives. Inami, he suggests, a second possibility, Mefarish Tchila Ezoisha Asura Vezoisha Muteres Vadim Farish Kula Mili Dinashim. Before we can describe getting married, we first have to describe who you're allowed to get married to and who you're not allowed to get married to. So Yevamos is a good starting point, because it starts with the Arayos, all the people that are asur to for a person to get married to. So you need to know who your pool of candidates are before a person can go and get married. So that's why we have to start with Yevamos. Va'od Yeshlomar, third possibility, says Tosfos Yeshayahu, Mishum dehi mitzvah rishona she'ira b'nashim, k'dechsiv b'tamar ba'al eshes achicha v'yaveh mosa, that it's the first mitzvah that we ever find that actually happened in human history with women, that we find with the Maisa of Tamar, we find the inyan of Yibam already in Sefer Bereishis. So the Ramban discusses on the spot that you see that even before there was a Torah and before there was a mitzvah of Yibum, the idea of Yibum was something that was accepted in the world. It was something that apparently was done. So with the inyan of Yibum is the first thing we find that was ever done in human history before any of the other mitzvahs relating to Seder Nashim, and that's why we start with Yevamos. The Meiri says that no, whenever we start a new Seder, Rabbi Danasi always tries to put that which is more the Maseches HaChamura, that which probably means the most challenging Masechta first. That whenever you start a new Seder, you're being introduced to a new language, being introduced to new concepts, to new ideas. The best way to really get acclimated is to learn the most challenging one first, and then when you learn the other Masechtas, it flows much more easily. So we get acclimated by learning the more challenging Masechta first, and Yevamos certainly fits the bill. It is is certainly one of the more challenging Masechtas in Shas, but by going through that challenge and by rising to the challenge, we become familiar with many of the concepts that are going to help us understand Maseches Ksuvos, which is also somewhat of a challenging Masechta, but a very enjoyable Masechta, Maseches Nedarim. A lot of these things, a lot of the Inyanim in those Masechtas would be very difficult to understand without a proper background in Maseches Yevamos. And then Tosyantiv suggests the final answer, that Rabbi put Yevamos before Ksubas and Kiddushin, because the Maisa of Yibum has two mitzvahs. You have mitzvahs Yibum and mitzvahs Piri Veruvia in the act of Yibum itself. You're doing Yibum plus you're having children. Having children is also a mitzvah, as opposed to Kiddushin only as the mitzvah of Puruvu. And Tov Mashnayim Min HaEchad, certainly better to have two than to have one. So we prefer to start with a topic that involves two mitzvahs rather than a topic that involves one mitzvah. So all of that is al derech Hakdama. Now let's begin the actual Masechta. Let's begin the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Chamesh Esrei Nashim, there are 15 women, 15 relationships one can have that are Potros Saroseyan, Vitzaros Saroseyan, Menachalitza, Menayibu Matzofa Olam, that will exempt any of the co-wives, the Tzara is a co-wife, any of the fellow wives of this Tzara, of these women, from Yibum or Chalitza. What does it mean that it exempts the co-wives from Yibum or Chalitza? Let's say Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter, and Shimon is also married to three other women, let's say. So Shimon has four wives, Reuven's daughter, and three other women. Then Shimon dies without children, so Reuven doesn't have to do Yibum or Chalitza on any of the women. All of the women are part from Yibum or Chalitza. Since he can't do it on his own daughter, obviously, because she's Asura to him, so none of the women are going to require Yibum or Chalitza. That's the din, that the Erva paters her tsaros, paters all of her co-wives. The Erva is the one that's Reuven's daughter, or 14 other relationships that they might have with Reuven that we're about to enumerate in the Mishnah. If Reuven is in some way related, in a way that would preclude the possibility of Yibum with one of Shimon's wives, then Reuven doesn't do Yibum or Chalitza with any of Shimon's wives. What does Tzaros Tzaroseyan mean? So the Mishnah is going to explain. Tzaros Tzaroseyan means that if, because Reuven, Reuven doesn't do Yibum or Chalitza on any of the wives, but one of the other wives, not the one that's the daughter of Reuven, goes and marries Levi, goes and does Yibum with Levi, with Reuven's other brother. And Levi also has a whole bunch of other wives, and then Levi dies, none of those wives are going to require Yibum or Chalitza from Reuven either, because one of them is a Tzaras Tzara. So, one of them was a Tzara, and therefore they are all Tzaros Tzarosehen. They're all co-wives of an original co-wife of Reuven's daughter. So that would exempt all of them from Yibum Chalitza. The Mishnah will expressly state that a little bit later on, but this is the rule, that 15 women, there are 15 relationships that Reuven could have that would exempt not only that woman herself from Yibum and Chalitza, but also anyone else who happens to be married to Reuven's brother, and not only that, but even Tzaroseyan, even if it's a step removed. The Tosus raises the question on the top over here, why is it that that the Mishnah used the Lashon of Nashim, Chamesh Esrei Nashim? By other Mishnayos, we use the term Arayos, and that's really what we're talking about over here. It's not just 15 women, it's 15 Arayos that we're listing. It's 15 people that Reuven is not allowed to marry. So Tosus says, because the Gemara is going to explain Minyana Asalamute, what the number 15 is coming to be Mimai. I mean, whenever the Mishnah gives a number and then gives a list, it's always a little bit strange and a little bit difficult, and the Gemara always deals with it. We know how to count. We have enough fingers and toes to count 15. So if we know how to count the number 15, why does it have to tell me there are 15 women? So we always assume that if there's a number, the number's coming to exclude something, that there's someone else you might have thought belongs on this list, but is not on the list. And all of the people that we say that were Baal Ma'et are people who are not actually Arayos. And therefore, we have to say Chamesh Esrei Nashim, because if it was Chamesh Esrei Arayos, then it can't be Mima'et, the women that were trying to be Mima'et, because they wouldn't have been included anyway, since they are not Arayos. That's how Tosos understands, that's why we have to use the term Nashim rather than the term Arayos. Tosos Rid suggests that we dafka use the term Nashim and not Arayos, because they were married to the brother Kedasu Kedin, meaning there was nothing wrong with the relationship with the brother that they were married to. They were in Nerva on the mace, on the brother who died, as opposed to the Mishnah later on that's going to talk about Shesh Nashim that are in Nerva on the brother that died also, and there was no Tfisas Kedushin at all. That's where we use the Lashon of Arayos, where there were Arayos in the relationship that they had, and in the proposed relationship that we're suggesting, where there are Arayos through and through. But over here, it's not really about Arayos, it's about Nashim in general. So they're all Pater Tzaroseyan. There is a diun in the Achronim about what the idea of the Ptur of Tzara is. Is the source of the Ptur of Tzara in the Erva herself? It's just that the Erva extends from the, let's say, from Reuven's daughter to the other tzaros as well, or do we say the ptur of tzara is its own independent ptur? It's not just an extension of the erva that happens to connect to all the other wives. It's its own independent ptur. Meaning, the just like Bito or Achos Isha or any of the other Arayos are part from Yibum, also Tsaras Bito is part from Yibum, or do we say no, that it's all Din and Bito, and Bito, the Isser Bito extends on all the Tsaros? So the Kovitz Tsaros, Rav Elchanan, suggests that it's got to be its own independent Ptur, that it's not just that we're Mamshich, the Isser of the Erva, to everybody else. And he proves it from a Gemara later on. The Gemara is going to say, on Daf Yud Gimel, according to the Shita, that Nisuin Mapilim, which would mean that already at the time of the Nisuin, there's Chal on this Isha, the cause for the future Yibum, when her husband dies, and it's not just that we happen to not pass like that, we pass him Misa Mapeles. So the Gemara is going to say, even if the Erva gets divorced or dies while her husband is still alive, and then the husband dies, meaning what if Reuven's daughter dies? And then Shimon dies. Does Reuven now do Yibum on the siblings, on the co-wives rather, on the Tsaros? So, because now there's no Erva there. So the Gemara says, according to the opinion that Nisuin Mapilim, the Tsaros are still Pater from Chalitza and Yibum. But if you're going to say that the Tzara doesn't have her own independent Ptur, it's just an extension of the Ptur of the Erva, so then it would be not understandable why that would be the case. At the time of the Misa Sabal, which is when the Nefila Bepoel happens, when you actually have a Chiv of Yibum that kicks in, she's not a Tzara of an Erva at all, so how could you pater her? So Behechrech, what you have to say is that the Tzara has a Shem Ptur of Tzara's Erva. She has her own Ptur. It's not just an extension of the Erva itself. And therefore she becomes like an Erva with regard to Yibum. So you don't need the Erva to be there at all times. The Erva could have died already, and still she'll become like the Erva when it comes to Yibum Chalitza. Okay, so there are 15 relationships, that if Reuven has any of these relationships with one of Shimon's wives, all of Shimon's wives are part from Yibum Mechalitza. What are these relationships? Ve'elu hein. These are the list of the relationships. Bito, well, that's the example we've been using the whole time. Reuven's daughter is married to Shimon. Ubas Bito, Reuven's granddaughter, Ubas Beno, his granddaughter from his daughter, his granddaughter from his son, are married to Shimon. That will pater Reuven not only from doing Yibum Mechalitza on his relative, but on any of the tsaros, on any of the co-wives. Bas Ishto, his wife's daughter, Reuven's wife's daughter is married to Shimon, Ubas Bina, Ubas Bita, or his wife's granddaughter, whether it be her son's daughter or whether it be her daughter's daughter, either way it's going to pater Reuven from pater all the women from Yibum v'Chalitza with Reuven. Chamoso, if it's Reuven's mother-in-law is married to Shimon, ve'im chamoso ve'im chamiv, or Reuven's grandmother-in-law, whether it be the grandmother-in-law, meaning his wife's father's mother, or his wife's mother's mother, either way, it's going to pater all of the women from Yibum v'Chalitza. Achoso me'ima. Well, actually, before we even get to that, if you look at Rashi over here, ve'im chamoso ve'im chamav, Rashi points out about halfway through that Rashi that when we say bito dahacha bebito me'anusaso kamari, when the Mishnah spoke about bito, it has to be talking about not a daughter from a legitimate relationship, but a daughter from a woman that Reuven had raped. V'chein bas bito bas bino, and the same is true when we say his granddaughter. For it has to be from that kind of illegitimate relationship. De'ilu bito mi ishto, hainu bas ishto. Because if it was his daughter from his wife, if Reuven was just married and had a regular daughter, you wouldn't need that she'd be bito. She'd already be bas ishto anyway. Even if it was bas ishto from another man, it would be enough to pater. Certainly, if it's bas ishto from him, de'kivin d'chsiv isha ubita lo shna mimenu lo shna mi ishacher. Since it says isha ubita, it doesn't matter if it's from him or from anyone else. Avobito me'anusaso le'yalfa me'hacha di ishali de kiddushin mashmashu ishus umikra achrina nafka kinfarish b'gemara. But bito me'anusaso, we can't learn from the pasuk of isha ubita, because isha ubita only tells us about someone who you're legitimately married to and her daughter. So bito me'anusaso, that's what we're coming to include with the term bito and bas bito. The list continues though. Achoso me'imo, Reuven's half sister, if he shares a mother with his sister, and that half-sister is married to Shimon. Now Shimon is his half-brother, but Reuven's half-sister and Shimon, his half-brother, are not related to each other, because Reuven shares a father with Shimon, That's how Yibum works. The Chiv of Yibum is from your brother on your father's side. So Reuven shares a father with Shimon and shares a mother with Shimon's wife, with the woman that Shimon married. So all of the co-wives are also going to be part from Yibum and Chalitza. Va'achos imo, Reuven's aunt. Va'achos ishto, Reuven's sister-in-law, his wife's sister. Ve'eshes achiv me'imo, and Reuven's and Reuven's brother's wife, if it's a brother from his mother's side, meaning the brother from his father's side is Shimon, but let's say his brother from his mother's side is married to was married to a woman, and that woman now goes and marries Shimon, so that is that's another type of erva. Now on Achos Ishto, we said his wife's sister. The Mishnah is going to say later on Daf Lamed that even if she dies, even if his wife dies after the Achos is Nofelos Liibum, and you already have the Isser of Achos Isha as Pata, the Isser goes away, nevertheless she's Pata from Chalitza and Yibum, because we paskin that any Yivama that became Asur Betim Shah Achas, for even a single moment, she remains Asura forever. That's what the Mishnah is going to say later on about Achos Ishto, meaning if what makes her so Asur to him is his wife's existence, and what if his wife dies then? Then the Achos Ishto should become Mutarim, and they should have to do Yibum. But the Gemara is going to say, no, we don't say that, we don't do that. Once she was Asuratim once, she remains Asuratim forever, and therefore they don't do, once she's Asura to do Yibum once, she remains Asura to do Yibum forever. So Tosfos over here asks the Kasha, a very strong Kasha. He says, if that's the case, then if a woman is a Nida, B'shas Nefilas LeYibum, you also shouldn't be able to do Yibum on her. Because if you can say that if at the moment of the original chalos of the Yibum, she was Asura, I don't care if she later became Muteres. I mean, the premise of the question is that a man is not allowed to marry his wife's sister while his wife is still alive. Even if he divorced her, while his wife is still alive. Once his wife is dead, he's allowed to marry his wife's sister. So the question is, if his wife's sister was Nofelis Liibum to him, his wife's sister was married to his brother, two brothers had married two sisters, so his wife's sister was married to his brother, and his brother dies, so now you would think he'd have a mitzvah of Yibum, but no, it's his wife's sister, so he can't do Yibum. But then his wife dies, so you would think, okay, good, so now let him do Yibum. If 10 years later his wife dies, let him go do Yibum, but we don't say that. The Mishnah Daf Lamed says, no, once at the moment that his brother died, he couldn't do Yibum on his wife's sister, he's never going to be able to do Yibum on his wife's sister, because if at the moment of Yibum, you couldn't do it, then you can never do it. So Tosfos asks, so then every woman who's Nofelis Liibum, that's a Nida at the time that her husband dies, you should never be able to do Yibum, because at that moment you can't do Yibum, so it should be Asr forever to do Yibum. So Tosfos suggests that no, we only Asr with Arayos from Yibum, Arayos that are similar to Achos Isha. Nida is not like Achos Isha, because she's Asr L'Kol Olam, she's not only Asr to the Yavam, it's not about a relationship. The Chamesh Asri Nasrim are all about someone who has who's Asr Reuven, not just Asr Reuven, but Asr Reuven on account of some relationship that she has with Reuven. Anida's Asr Reuven, not on account of any special relationship that she has with Reuven. She's Asr the whole world the same way. She's equally Asr to everybody. That wouldn't count, that wouldn't be included in this rule that if she's Asura for that moment, then she's going to be Asura forever. That's the way the Achronim explain what Tosfos is driving at. The Yisr of all the Arayos is because of the Likuchin and the Chasnus that's involved. That's the Yisr. As opposed to Anida, where the Torah doesn't asur getting married to Anida, it only asurs a Maisa Bia. So the Isser isn't so sad the very din of Yibum. The din of Yibum is about Likuchin, it's about his Chasnus, so it's not just about an act of Bia. That's one answer that Tosfos has. Tosfos also suggests that you have to look at what the reason is that the wife's sister, after the wife dies 10 years later, that the wife's sister is not going to be Nofelis Liibum. The reason the Gemara is going to say later on Daf Pei Zayin and Beis is if let's say the Gemara says a person has children at the time that he died. Shimon actually had children when he died, but then his children die later on. 10 years later, his children die. Should Reuven now do Yibum v'Chalitza on Shimon's wives? So the Gemara says, no, you can't say that because it's Rachel Hadar Chinam v'chol nesivasa shalom. What kind of Torah would that be? You're going to have, as soon as Shimon dies, all of his wives are going to be hanging in limbo because we're not going to know if they're going to need Yibam v'chalitz or not. It will depend if the children survive. It will depend on other factors that have not yet been determined. So they can't get married, and if they do get married and it turns out they needed Yibam, then all the kids are going to be mamzerim from it. It would be terrible. You can't, Rachel Hadar Chinam demands that we can't keep the women hanging in limbo after their husband dies. They either are chayiv in Yibam or they're patur in Yibam. That's the same svara for Rachel's ishto, that if Shimon's wife has to wait to see if her sister dies first before she can determine whether she needs Yibam or not, it would be a violation of Rachel Hadar Chinam. So Tos points out, but there would be no such problem with Rachel Hadar Chinam by Anida. So the fact that she has to wait to do Yibam till after she becomes Tahora is not at all a violation of Rachel Hadar Chinam. That's very reasonable. Let her become Tahora and then she'll be able to do Yibam. So the whole Svara won't apply to a Anida. That's Tosa's Ha'ara over here on the issue of Achos Ishto. Tosa and the Rush also write that it's not only... not only is she misyavemes after the nida is misyavemes after she becomes tahor, but even if he was boel her while she was a nida, you'd be mekayim the mitzvah of yibum in that way. And he proves it from a Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara says when a person is boel b'shogeg yivemto kshi nida, a person sleeps with his yavama when she's a nida b'shogeg, he didn't realize, he's not chayiv to bring korban chatas because he's what we call a toa b'dvar mitzvah. Since he was involved in doing a mitzvah and he made the mistake while trying to do mitzvah, he's patur from a chatas. What do you mean toa b'dvar mitzvah? What mitzvah is he doing? He's sleeping with a nida. How could that be a mitzvah? No, you see from here that it still is a kiyum of the mitzvah of Yibum, even if the woman is a nida at that time. That's what both Tosos and the Rush write, which causes a lot of discussion in Rishonim and Achronim. Whatever happened to mitzvah baba avera? Why isn't this a classic example of mitzvah baba avera? That's Nogea and Yonad Yoma, the Yikr Sugi of mitzvah baba avera, the Sugi Mesachas Sukkah, in the third paragraph of Mesachas Sukkah, Lulav HaGazel. So why don't we say, I actually had a Sukkah Gazul Shaila yesterday, someone asked me about, why don't we have a discussion for a different time? Why don't we say mitzvah baba avera on something like this? We should say, so this is because after all, a man is sleeping with a nida, that's an avera, he's trying to do the mitzvah of Yibam. Normally by a mitzvah baba avera, we say the mitzvah doesn't count at all. One doesn't get a kiyum a mitzvah whatsoever for the mitzvah that's baba avera. So the Rishonim write that it's different. Mitzvah baba avera is only when the tachlis of the mitzvah is the maisa that you're doing the avera for, meaning what's the tachlis of Yibam? Is the tachlis of Yibam to have a maisa bia? No, that's just the maisa of Yibam. But the purpose of Yibam is to establish a relationship with the brother, to maintain the family relationship with his own brother, maintain your brother's family and establish a family for him. That's the tachlis of the mitzvah. So the tachlis of the mitzvah and the avera are not one and the same. It's only the maisa mitzvah and the maisa avera that are one and the same. That's what some of the Achronim write to be mechalik between regular mitzvah baba avera and this. I think that's how Rav Shimon Shkap writes. Okay, so further relationships. So we said ve'eshes achiv me'imo. I think we did that one. Now turning the page, ve'eshes achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. Another relationship Reuven might have with one of Shimon's wives that would pater all the wives is eshes achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Kigon, Reuven shemes b'lo banim. Reuven dies without having any children. V'nolodo ach la'achar misa. And then a brother was born to Reuven after Reuven died. Ushmo Levi. And that new brother that was born to Reuven, meaning Reuven's mother, had another child after Reuven died, and that child is called Levi. V'amat Shimon v'yibim ishto. Shimon did yibim on Reuven's wife. V'lo isha acheres. And Shimon also had another wife. And then Shimon died, Nebuchadnezzar's family. Then Shimon died without any children. I'm not going to say Nebuchadnezzar's family every time because we'll be saying that a lot. And then both of them died. So both of Shimon's wives are now Lifnei Levi, are now standing ready for Yibum by Levi. Shtehen Peturos. They're both pater from Yibum. Why? Because the woman that the wife of Shimon, who was originally married to Reuven and only ended up with Shimon by Shimon doing Yibum, is Aser Levi. Meaning, generally speaking, one is not allowed to marry his brother's wife. It's an Isser. It's one of the Arayos But b'makom mitzvah we allow. B'makom mitzvah yibum we allow marrying a brother's wife. There is no mitzvah yibum on eshes achiv shelo hayabal lamo on a brother's wife when you didn't when you weren't in the world at the same time as your brother. So there is no mitzvah yibum. Mainly just go back to the same iser, the same erva of a brother's wife of eshes achiv. So therefore, it's going to be an iser kares for Levi to marry her, and all the tzaros are therefore mutter as well. And Rashi goes on to explain how we know that that Eish Sachav Shalai Bar Lama, there's no mitzvah, and because there's no mitzvah, it's just a chi of kares. And next relationship, v'kalaso, his daughter-in-law, if Reuven's daughter-in-law is married to Shimon. Harei elu peturos tzarosayan, v'tzaros tzarosayan, v'nachlitzim, and yibam at sofa olam. All of these pater, they're tzaros, and they're tzaros, for both from Chalitza and from Yibum. That's the halacha, that all of these 15 relationships create not only an Isser for Reuven to do Yibum and Chalitza with these women who he's related to, but even with any of their co-wives, or if any of those co-wives end up getting married to another brother and any of their co-wives, they're all going to be Asser. V'kulan im mesu amianu oniskarsho shenim tzorailunis tzorosei mutaros. But in any of these situations, if the problematic relationship, the woman who's the, let's say Reuven's daughter, take the easy case, Reuven's daughter, who was married to Shimon, dies before Shimon dies, so, or does miyun? Miyun is if there's kiddushe ketana. If a father gives, if a father's not around to give his daughter over for kiddushe ketana, so for kiddushin, so the mother and brother give her over for kiddushin. The daughter has the right to decide. The girl has the right to decide when she becomes a gadol that she's not interested in the marriage and to walk away from the marriage and as if the marriage never happened, because the kiddushin is only kiddushin midrabanan to begin with. So if she does miyun, it means that she was never married to this guy in the first place. Onis garshur, if she gets divorced, to islandess, or it turns out that she's an islandess, and if it turns out that she's an islandess, it means the whole kiddushin meikara was a kiddushe taus. The whole kiddushin was on a false premise, because a man marries a woman assuming that she's going to one day be able to have children, but if she never physically matures, she's never going to be able to have children. Said it's a kiddushe taus, unless of course he knew that she was an islandess. If he knew that she was an islandess and he was mekabel and he said, "I don't care, I'm in love with her, it doesn't matter, I don't mind that she's not able to have children, or I'm not interested in having children, or I can't have children anyway," whatever the case, if he knew that she was an islandess, then it's a valid kiddushin. But if she's nimtza islandess, if it turns out that she's an islandess, it's a kiddushe taus. So in all those cases, then tsarosein mutaros, then the tsaros are going to be mutter, because it turns out that Shimon isn't really married to Reuven's relative. Either never was or isn't now, when Shimon dies, isn't married to Reuven's relative, and therefore the tzaros in those cases are going to be mutter. However, v'iyat yachalomer b'chamoso b'im chamoso b'im chamav shenim tzorailus o shemianu. Obviously, some of these relationships you can't say that they were found out to be an islandess. His mother-in-law cannot possibly have been an islandess, because his mother-in-law had a child, his wife. So there's no way that she could have been an islandess. Also, you can't say that she then does miyun, because miyun is only done by a katana. The katana doesn't have a child who Reuven could have been married to. So obviously, you're not going to be able to say shem tzailinus or shemianu in those cases. The Rishonim, Tos Yishonim, and Tos HaRash point out that the seder of how it's written, that mesu o miyanu o niskarshu o nimsu islandus, is bedarach lozu avzu. That it's not only if any of these arayos die, that they're not going to pata the tzaros, because they're already not here in the world anymore. But even if they're still in the world, it's just that they did miyun, they also are not going to pata the tzaros. And not only if they did miyun, where they themselves stopped the ishus without the husband doing anything to stop the ishus, but even if the husband stops the ishus, like by doing a gerushin, also is not going to pat to the tzaros. And not only if they become divorced and b'shas misabal they weren't married to him anymore, they're going to be mutter. But even if them so islandess, even after the husband dies, it turns out that they're an islandess and the whole thing was a kiddush etos, even then it's going to pat to the tzaros. So you see that it's not going to pat to the tzaros. So that's the derech of the Mishnah to write it the derech lozu avzu. That's the order of the Mishnah. Ketzad Potro, actually, before we get the Nimsa Islandus, Rashi and Tosov here say that that they only patur tzoroseyan because it's a mekach tzaros, right? If it's nimtzua, if they only don't pater tzarosayan because it's a mekach tzaros, if she turned out to be an islandess. It turns out that she was never really married to the brother. So Tzaros says, well, wait a second. The Gemara later on in the Samach Alvan Bezos is going to tell us that according to a mayor that were choshish the miyuta, a katan or katana are not allowed to do chalitza or yibum. A katan because we're afraid maybe it'll turn out that it'll be a sris, and a katana because we're afraid that maybe she'll be an islandess. And a sris and an islandess are part from yibum and chalitza. So if we're choshish the miyuta, so even though it's a small minority of the population that are actually a sris or an islandess, but still a katan and a katana don't do yibum and chalitza according to a mayor. If Kiddushay Islandess is Kiddushay Taos, though, asks Tosfos, why don't we say that the Katana could do Yibum? Because Miman of Shachet should be fine if she should be Mutaris to the Yibum. Because if she's not an Islandess, if it turns out like the majority of women that she turns out not to be an Islandess, great, you just did the Mitzvah of Yibum. Congratulations, wonderful. And if she is an Islandess, so then she's Mutaris to him anyway, because she was never really married to the brother. So she should be Mutaris anyway. She's not one of the brother's wives. It's a Kiddush HaTos, and should be totally batal. That's the kasha that Tosfos asks. There are like seven or eight terutzim that the Rishonim and Archonim give to this. Tosfos says, B'Shem Rabbi Tam, that Rab Meir, when he says that you can't do Yibum V'Chalitza on a Katana, is talking about where the husband was writing Makabal, that he's Makadish her, even if she is an islandess. So you know that she's really married to him. That he's Mekadish, or even if it turns out that she's an islandess. But Tosfos Yishonim says what I thought was more Pashut Teretz, that even a mayor only answers, doesn't answer marrying the Katana. It's just that whenever you do Yibam on one of the wives, you're pattering all of the other wives from their Zika, and they're now going to go and be Nisei Sloshot, they're going to go and get married to other people. Well, that's what you can't do, because what if it turns out that this girl is an islandess? If it turns out that she's an islandess, yeah, you're allowed to marry her, because she was never married to your brother, so that's perfectly fine, there's nothing wrong with marrying her, but that's not Yibum. And if it's not Yibum, all of the other wives are still Asuros. They're still not allowed to get married to anybody else. That was Reb Meir's point. So it doesn't. So the kasha is not a kasha meikara. That's the point is not that you're not allowed to marry her. Of course you're allowed to marry her. The point is that you can't call that Yibum, because we're choshish that she might be an islandess, and then it's not going to be a real Yibum. Ketzad potros tzorosein. What is the example of what does it mean when we say that they pater tzorosein? So this is the easy part. We already described this. What this means. The Mishnah just spells it out. What does it mean that if Reuven is related to one of Shimon's wives, that all the tzoros are pater? So the Mishnah gives a classic example. Ha'isa bito o achas mikol arayos ha'elo ha'elu. If either Reuven's daughter or any one of the other 14 relationships that we mentioned in the Mishnah are nesuros la'achiv, are married to Shimon, velo isha acheres, and Shimon happens to have other wives as well, umes, and then Shimon dies, kishem shebito p'tura, kach tzarasa p'tura. Just like Reuven's daughter obviously isn't going to do Yibum with Reuven, so all of the other wives of Shimon also don't do Yibum with Reuven. That's tzara. What's tzara's tzara? Tzara, holchat tzara's bito. Let's say one of Shimon's other wives then goes, v'nisis lach v'sheni, and marries Levi, marries a third brother. V'lo isha acheres, and Levi has other brothers, umeis, and then Levi dies. Keshem shatzaras bito petura, kach tzaras tzarasa petura. Just like the wife of Levi who was once married to Shimon is pater, because she was once a co-wife with Reuven's daughter, so too all of the other wives of Levi are going to be pater. Afilu hein mea, even 100 times over. So that's the halacha of tzaros and tzaros tzaros. Ketzad imesu tzarosein mutaros. What do we mean when we say imesu tzarosein mutaros? That if they die, the tzaros are going to be mutter, right? That's what we said. If they die or do miyun or get divorced or turn out to be an islandess, now all the tzaros are going to be mutter. What does that mean? Haisa bita oachas mikala rayos eilu nesuos la'achiv. Let's say Reuven's daughter or any one of the other 14 relationships that we talk about in the Mishnah are married to Shimon. Velo isha acheres, and Shimon happens to have other wives as well. Mesa bito onis garsha v'achar kach mesa achiv, and then before Shimon dies, Reuven's daughter dies, or Reuven's daughter and Shimon get divorced, And only then Shimon dies, and Shimon has other wives, Sarasa Mutares. Then Reuven has to do Yibum or Chalitza with one of Shimon's other wives.
If a girl is in a position that she's able to do Miyun, but she did not do Miyun, meaning an Erva that's a Katana, that's a young girl, and she's able to do Miyun, but she did not yet do Miyun, and then Shimon dies, so we don't yet know what's going to be with this, what would have been with this Kiddushin, because there was this Kiddushin Midrabanan with Shimon and Reuven. Reuven's relative, so we don't know if that counts as real marriage or not, and therefore you can only do Chalitza, you can't do Yibum. Chalitza is safer, because if you're doing Yibum Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah, obviously that's going to be a very terrible Isser to do Yibum Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah, because that's an Isser Kares, that's one of the Arayos in the Torah. There is an interesting discussion in the Achronim, whether a Mishumedes requires Yibum. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Achronim discuss, the Rishonim discuss, are there more than the 15 things that are mentioned in the Mishnah that where you would not require Yibum v'chalitza? So there's an interesting discussion about a Mishumedes, whether she requires Yibum v'chalitza. It happens to be that Ramah Paskins and Evna Ezer, that someone who has an Isha Shehimira, that went and converted out of the religion, even though she was Vada Zinsa, the Tzara still requires Chalitza. You don't do Yibum, obviously, we don't do Yibum at all, but the Tzara requires Chalitza, but from the Hasaga of the Ramah, it sounds like he understood the Shulchan Aruch would say that the Mechaber himself would hold that an Isha with Zvadei Zinsa, she has a din of an Erva, and she's the Tzara would be Pater even from Chalitza, and the same would be Mishumedes would Pater the Tzara even since the Mishumedes is Vadei Zinsa. Okay, so that's an interesting discussion. We don't really have time to get into what the Rayas are right now, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara.